why is it we would go through such incredible scrutiny to board an airplane to protect me against terrorists? And yet we have no scrutiny of the people on a terrorist watch list to be able to buy a gun.
My colleagues, in many ways, want to treat the symptoms without fighting the disease. And there is absolutely nothing in the Feinstein Amendment that would have prevented the Orlando shooting from occurring.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
It is 5:10. Good morning, everyone. It is another business day. How about that? It's June 21st. It is the first full day of summer 2016. It's Tuesday. Welcome to another edition of The Opening Bell. As I said, welcome to another business day. Whatever you do, don't Google Strawberry Moon. I did this morning, made the mistake of not having my not safe for work filter on. And the first object that came up was not the full moon, but somebody wearing a strawberry costume mooning me. So whatever you do, make sure you have your not safe for work filter turned on this morning. Otherwise, you can get a good look at it before the sun comes up. It's still high in the sky. The last time we're going to see the strawberry moon, by the way, until, what is it, 2062, something like that? I think it is 2062, June of 2062. So if you're like my age, close to 50, you're not going to be able to see it again. You'll probably be taking a dirt nap by then. But still, it was pretty. If you have shots of it, share them online. Maybe Google will get those instead of the guy wearing the strawberry costume this morning. Let's get right to business, checking the markets on the WGN market desk this morning. From around the world, we find markets are a little bit more mixed than they were yesterday. Some of the arrows in Asia pointing up, some down. The Nikkei up almost 1.5% this morning. The Hang Seng up almost 1%. You heard Vic tell you about some of the other markets as well. The DAX in Germany is off almost 0.5%. It is also lower in London and in other European markets as well. What is it doing here? The Dow futures are up about 49 points this morning, pointing toward a stronger open on Wall Street. The day ahead, Federal Reserve Chair Janet Yellen is set to deliver her semi-annual State of the Economy address to Congress later this morning. Yellen appears before the Senate Banking Committee one day after U.S. stocks rose significantly on Wall Street, nearly a week after the Federal Reserve resigned to the fact it wasn't going to raise interest rates, at least not during the summer. In explaining the decision to keep rates unchanged, you remember last week that she voiced worries about the slowdown in the pace of job creation, actually said we're close to full job support now in the U.S., that we might not have any more jobs to offer yet. The Fed suggested in a statement after its policy meeting that it needed a more clear-cut picture before resuming rate hikes, possibly later this year. We'll find out more again from her later this morning. We'll be following that through the morning. The Japanese government says Mitsubishi Motors Corporation overstated mileage on its vehicles by up to 16%. The transport ministry said today its own mileage test to look into the cheating by the Japanese automaker on its mini car models, tiny cars eligible for tax breaks in Japan, found those irregularities. It is Tech Week in Chicago, and we have no better person to go to talk about this than our own in-house tech innovation startup guru. He is the CEO of Technori with us this morning, Scott Catoon. Good morning, Scott.
Hey, Steve. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I'm sorry to hear about your Strawberry Moon Google.
Yeah, I should have had the not for safe, worse. But anyway, we live and learn. Did you get to see the moon this morning?
Not really.
Okay.
I missed out on it. So fortunately, I'm young enough, I might just see it again before I die.
Well, let's hope so. I hope for many, many years for you. 2062 is a long way off, though. Lots of stuff could happen by then. So tell us about Tech Week. What's happening?
It's obviously the week of the year for most of us in the tech area of Chicago. I think just about every tech startup in Chicago is represented this year at Tech Week. They've got panels all day long. I'm hosting some panels on Thursday. I'm going to be emceeing on Friday with, I think there's 15 companies that are coming through. So literally, I don't think there's a single company that's not participating. I think the interesting part about Tech Week for those who participated the last few years versus this year is just how well organized it is this year. I think those at Tech Week got some complaints last year about sort of the
I don't want to say disorganization, but just sort of it was very busy, and it was very difficult to get around, and there was just, you know, I don't know, it was just a difficult experience. And this year they put so much focus on using the space, as they say. They had workshops and things to kick things off yesterday. They had a diversity workshop at 1871 they held. Then they've got their own floors this year where if you want to check out some of the programming, some of the speakers, which there are many amazing speakers, the guys from georgefromrose.com will be there again, the guys from Avant, the guys from Trunk Club. When you name the Chicago group, you name the Chicago startup, they're going to be there speaking. They're going to have it not be mixed this year with all of the other arrangements and things, which is what one of the big complaints was, is it was distracting and hard to really take advantage of everything. This year, they're going to be holding everything kind of separated and enable each person to sort of check out each individual piece of Tech Week versus it just all going out at one time and you're sort of missing out on pieces here and there. So I'm really excited about participating in it this year. It's my first year of really getting involved and not just being an attendee. So I think it's going to be an outstanding week. And they also are expanding to many new cities like Toronto this year. So I'm really excited for Tech Week brings here in Chicago.
You can find more about this at techweek.com. And just looking at the list here, I see a couple of people that have been on the opening bell, including right at the top there, Alex Dimajewski of Ballot Ready. We'll chat more with Scott Catoon of Technori, the CEO of Technori, about Tech Week and more startup and innovation news as our opening bell conversation continues.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now, stocks rose sharply on Monday amid investor optimism that Great Britain will remain a part of the European Union. Brits vote Thursday. The latest poll suggests they will stay in the EU. The Dow Jones rose 129 points yesterday to close at 17,804. The S&P 500 added 12 points. The Nasdaq gained nearly 37. Crude oil prices again approached the $50 a barrel mark yesterday. Analysts at Raymond Jones & Associates predict that West Texas Intermediate crude will touch $80 by the end of the year. Those little charges add up. The Department of Transportation says the airlines collectively raked in $1.7 billion in baggage and reservation change fees in the first quarter of 2016. Despite that, the major carriers posted lower profits for the first 3 months of the year. And Apple will be handing out $400 million to customers who bought e-books between April of 2010 and May of 2012 after the company was found guilty of price fixing. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
You never can do everything you want to do in version one. And I think when we look at the Muse, there's a few big stages that I see. Obviously, the first thing we wanted to do is build an audience and give them something to keep coming back for. So that's great content, job listings, and then these
Tech
photo
Week
and video
from
profiles.
2014, Catherine Minshew of the Muse speaking at Tech Week. Just some of the talent that comes into this event every week. It's ongoing this week. And lots of big speakers there. Scott Catoon, the CEO of Technori, is on with us on the opening bell this morning. And Scott, is this an opportunity for showcasing education, fundraising, or all of the above?
It's definitely all of the above. I mean, depending on the angle you come in from, so they've got a booth section for just about every startup that wants to or has the money to get a booth and sort of showcase and demo who they are and what they do, what their mission is. Those companies that have maybe made it a little further along or higher stage are, you know, invited to come in and speak. You mentioned Ballot Ready. I'm actually going to be hosting a panel with Alex, moderating a panel with Alex on Thursday morning at 9 to 9:35. So those companies in Chicago have sort of made, you know, some headways, have an ability to sort of give back and educate companies that are just budding. And then if you're just interested in technology and innovation in Chicago, you can go to so many different pieces of the programming just to learn what's going on. I mean, it really is, if you have any inclination to be involved in the tech community, there's something for you. And even today on my own show, the Technori Show, we're going to be doing a Facebook Live with Amanda, who's the CEO of Tech Week, so you can find out some of her take and some of the new things that she's working on to make Tech Week a better experience for everybody.
Shift Gig is going to be there. Motion AI. AI is obviously a huge thing. Innova, lots of other companies also going to be there. Is this a free? People have to buy tickets, but are there tickets still available? And is it something that you can just kind of go to at the last minute?
Yeah, you can. I did last year. I sort of did a last minute take. I'm sure that the pricing is at its highest, obviously, if you're buying last minute. I know that everything as far as the booth sections and things was all sold out, and they actually had to expand to get more space for Merchandise Mart to do this. So I expect that they're going to have between 15 and 20,000 people this year attending. I know that there is some availability, so I'm not sure what things, I'm sure things are sold out, but I'm sure if you go on the website, you can find out some of the programming that they're going to be, that they have still available.
I don't know if you saw this report that came out earlier this week or earlier last week by the company Comparably. They've done a survey of cities about technical jobs for people in different genders, so men and women. The gender gap, it's the gender pay gap by city for tech employees. More than 10,000 tech employees surveyed. And unfortunately, Chicago is number four out of the top five worst in the country with in terms of how much women are paid compared to men. Is that something you think that will be discussed there? Have you seen that firsthand? And how would you react to that survey?
You know, I'm a little bit surprised at it, actually. I mean, you know, it's funny. We're one of the best cities when it comes to funding and things for women and opportunities from the standpoint of women founders. So that actually takes me back a little bit that the non-founded companies are not paying women equally to men. However, I would argue that that's going to be a strong suit. If it's viewed as a weakness for us now, it's going to be viewed as a strong suit not very long from now, because almost everyone I know, and myself and Technology included, have a huge focal point on partnering with the female tech community to make sure that that kind of thing goes away. We're going to be announcing at the Tuesday Technology event, actually, a partnership with women tech founders to basically, you know, take care of that problem.
The survey says $72,000 is the average female compensation in tech jobs compared to men, $104,750, which is a 45% difference. The worst was Atlanta, $60,000 women's comp compared to $103,000 for men. Minneapolis, number two. Washington, D.C., number three. Chicago, four. Austin, five. Austin, I was very surprised since they're one of the hubs, it seems, of all of the things technical, the home of South by Southwest, if I'm not mistaken, $81,000, $750 compared to $115,000 for men. So it's definitely an issue, as this survey shows, one that needs to be addressed. Scott, let me ask you about Technori. How's that going? Because the last time we talked to you, you were just taking over the role of CEO. How's it progressing?
It's coming along well. We're working on all of our kind of growth and expansion strategies. Hosting my first official Technori on Tuesday, June 28th at Chase Auditorium. The topic is sizzling summer tech, so we're focused on my kind of companies, some golf apps, some drinking and restaurant apps, lease app. There's a bunch of cool stuff for people to check out. Dabble, which is another one. I think, honestly, if you haven't checked out dabble.co, that's Steve Grzanich special. I think that's like the ultimate app for Earth. All
the apps
for you and websites for you.
Scott Catoon, the CEO of Technori, on with us today. He's going to have the head of Tech Week on his podcast later, so make sure you check out that. Check out Tech Week at techweek.com, and you can also find Scott at Catoon on Twitter. Scott, thanks for being with us again, as always, on The Opening Bell.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. 8,000 educators from around the country come together this week to discuss next week to discuss the state of education. It's the National Education Association's 154th annual meeting and 95th representative assembly. It's going to be held in Washington. On this year's agenda, obviously, educators from Illinois will be there discussing, among other things, school funding and the state of education here in this state. Cinda Glickney is the head of this organization, and she's with us on The Opening Bell this morning to talk about the event coming up and what the focus will be. Cinda, thanks for being with us on The Opening Bell. What is the focus? What will be the major topics?
So at the National Education Association Representative Assembly, education funding is talked about a lot in all of our different states as our representatives from education come together. Funding is a huge issue across this country, and it's definitely a problem here in Illinois.
It seems like a conversation that you keep having over and over. What is the solution here to this, both in Illinois and nationally?
Well, first of all, I think that our country needs to really take a strong position in favor of public education. And I've recently been reading a book about Finland and how they become number one in the world. And they embrace education. They treat their teachers as one of the highest professions. And they promote reading and education throughout their country. And that is something that we need to do and then have the resources to help students.
Are you concerned about this? There seems to be an atmosphere where teachers have become sort of public enemy number one for whatever reason. Are you concerned about that attitude, whether it's one that's created by politicians or the public?
I'm very concerned about that attitude. You know, when I was going to school, I wanted to be a teacher, and teachers were applauded. And quite honestly, when you ask your local parents, they love their teachers. They are proud of their schools. But there's this national rhetoric that is not helping promote education. And that obviously is what students hear, too. So we need to get back to what our country was founded on, and that was public education. And we need to really give our students what is needed, and that is the resources, the programs, the courses, et cetera, that help them become productive citizens.
As the as your organization meets, you're celebrating a huge victory in that the No Child Left Behind Act has been rewritten. How big of a victory is that, and how significant is this rewrite going forward?
It is huge. Every Student Succeeds Act basically is going to take out all of these tests that parents, business, teachers, administrators all have said is not helping students. And it is bringing into every district in every state the opportunity to really have conversation about what should be opportunities for students, what should be measured, what should be in our public schools, whether that's saying that we need to make sure that we have art and PE and music or advanced placement classes or career workforce guidance and counseling. I mean, there's so many opportunities here to talk about with parents and business and community leaders.
And so for teachers, does this mean that there'll be no more teaching to the test?
Well, obviously, there's still going to be tests. But what we are moving away from is the punishment to a school around the test scores. And really looking at how is each student growing and improving, and what techniques need to be given to those students to make sure that they are progressing.
What do you hope that this meeting of the NEA accomplishes when it's all said and done?
Well, I think one of the big issues is going to be the U.S. presidential race. We're expecting that Hillary is going to be addressing us. And I think there's going to be a lot of talk about public education in this country and how we make sure that students are being served.
Cinda Glickna is the head of the National Education Association. Again, their meeting is in Washington, D.C. next week. They'll be meeting to discuss a number of issues, as you heard, education funding among those. The NEA, by the way, front and center this week, with tips to teachers on how they can talk to students about what's happening in Orlando. You can, if you're a teacher, educator, you can find more about this. Even a parent, if you're having trouble finding ways to talk to your kids about it, NEA.org. And you can find out more about their upcoming meeting as well. You can find the NEA on Twitter at NEA Today, the National Education Association. Cinda Glickna with us here on the opening bell this morning. It is 5:43 on the opening bell. Some other stories that we have been following for you over the last hours or two. The sterling has hit a 7-week high against the dollar today on expectations that Britons will vote to stay in the European Union. Stocks failed to build on the previous day's gains, as this week's referendum kept many investors cautious. Two opinion polls published yesterday put the Remain camp ahead before Thursday's vote gave a lead to the Leave groups. Some of those people now are having a news conference in London to talk about their moves going forward. But the big vote is the 23rd. Financial markets in this country seem to be reacting more to a speech later today by Janet Yellen. She will appear before Congress to give her semi-annual address to lawmakers about the state of the economy and the goings on at the Federal Reserve.
You're listening to the opening bell on 720 WGN.
5:49 on the WGN market desk. The Dow futures up about 72 points now. The S&P and NASDAQ futures higher as well. Markets are higher generally in Europe, also in Asia, but in China and in Hong Kong a little lower this morning. Let's get the latest on commodities now. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. The USDA issued the weekly crop progress reports yesterday afternoon. Very little change from a week ago. As far as the corn crop is concerned, 75% rates good to excellent, unchanged from a week ago. But in Iowa, it is 79% rated good to excellent. And in Illinois, it's 75%. Soybean planting pretty well finished. 96% of the soybean acres planted as of Sunday night. And soybean conditions pretty much unchanged from last week. Right now, we're finding 73% of the soybean crop in good to excellent condition. Tough day in the marketplace yesterday. Cattle futures tumbled to the lowest levels in more than 4 years. So if you enjoy beef and steak and hamburger on the grill, it should be costing you less very soon because these cattle prices have continued to drop. One trader said, there's a lot of heat in the Midwest. That's slowing down grilling, and so the beef supply is climbing. And then in the corn market, we finally decided that maybe middle of June is a little bit early for major crop weather situations. Corn futures fell nearly 4% yesterday. Soybeans also weakened as they took a look at those crop condition reports and found they're looking pretty good. That's your money on 720 WGN.
It is 5:51. Some other stories making business news this morning with your money. Boeing Corporation, based in Chicago, has confirmed signing an agreement with Iran Air, expressing the airline's intent to buy its aircraft. In a statement released today to the Associated Press, Boeing has confirmed what has been talked about for the last week or so by the government of Iran and airline analysts. The statement says that the company did receive U.S. authorization to do this following a determination that Iran had met obligations under its nuclear accord reached last summer. Iran's transportation minister, Abbas Akhoun, did talk to Reuters in Iran.
We think we need about 100 short-range fleets for our local flight. And about for national flight, about an international flight, about 400 fleet that can do the middle and long range flight.
Boeing, in its statement, offered no details of the sale, but you hear there from Iran how many is on the deal here on the table. Iran's national air carrier, Iran Air, says it wants to buy the new generation of Boeing 737, as well as some 300 ERs and 900 versions of the Boeing 777. And Ahun says the country has big plans for those aircraft.
Iran Air will compete within 5 to 7 years with all the regional airlines.
There are some estimates by airline industry analysts the deal could be worth as much as $25 billion for Chicago-based Boeing. There's also some odd news out this morning about the Tribune Publishing Company. You don't want to call it Tribune anymore. Yesterday, they officially started trading on the New York Stock Exchange as Tronc, T-R-O-N-C. the company behind the Los Angeles Times and Chicago Tribune, shedding that name to rebrand what they call high-tech journalism, a high-tech journalism company, as it tries to avoid being bought by USA Today owner Gannett Corporation. Well, yesterday, a video surfaced on YouTube with the Trump logo, a little bit of applause, and also there was this from some of the employees who were in that video talking to the camera. Listen. It was sort of a rainbow sort of looking logo.
This is the future of journalism. This is the future of content. It doesn't get much better than that. If you care about media and technology, this is the place to be.
Lots of logos flying.
TRONC stands for Tribune Online Content, and it also means pooling of resources.
It's about meeting in the middle, having a tech startup culture meet a legacy corporate culture, and then evolving and changing, and that's really the fun part. That's exciting.
We have great titles. We produce tons of great content every single day. We're really
TRONC began again trading on the NASDAQ Stock Exchange Monday under the ticker symbol of TRNC. We don't know if that video is actually from the Tribune Publishing Company or not. It was posted on several tech websites and also on a YouTube site that just had a couple of videos posted there. Gannett has offered about $864 million for TRONC. Said earlier this month that it is still pursuing a deal despite being rejected over and over by the Chicago Tribune Company. That's the opening bell for today. Thanks for joining us. Our producer is Mary Sandberg. Our assistant producer is Bennett Wakenight. And Ben Cortez, our engineer, as always, will continue to follow your money throughout the morning.